The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Sunday the 23rd of September. And we've got four live meetings for you on Sunday. Your Toxeter, Hamilton, Navan and Plumpton. And you can join the guys in the studio from 1:30pm on Racing Radio for coverage of all the day's racing. But here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, joined in the studio by Gary Catewell. Hello, Gary.
Hello, John.
It's good to have you back on the podcast. Are you excited to be here?
Bouncing and beyond excitement. I think the last one I did was for the Ledger last week, and we gave the Ledger winner. So we've set the bar. Well, to be fair, everybody knows that I've set the bar high anyway. To be perfectly honest,
set the bar high with the 6-4 Ledger winner.
Let's try 3-1. I think you'll find the favourite might have been 6-4. But we oppose the favourite, as we like to do on these podcasts. As anybody who've listened to the William Hill Irish Racing podcast all week will have known, that we don't like tipping too many favourites if we can avoid it. Sometimes you have to, because you've got to give a selection in every race, such as Astronomer, who won at Dundalk on Friday night and looks a horse very much on the upgrade. He just, I said he'd have a nice little jog round and win that race, and he did. But we don't make a habit, if we can, of tipping favourites. We like to go for a little bit of value. But yes, sometimes we go back to the Ledger, particularly with that race. You know, Kew Gardens was the only Group 1 winner in the field, and he was the only sort of, for me, guaranteed stayer as well, having already won the Queen's Vase earlier on in the season. So, we did all right last week.
So you tipped up Kew Gardens after the Artie Dar was confirmed as taking part?
Yes, on the podcast on Friday.
Because when I said 6-4, I was thinking of his anti-bias.
See, this is your problem. You've got to check your facts first, John. As a journalist, you should realise this.
I'm sorry, Gary. I'm sorry. Okay. In my defence, he was 6-4 for most of the week. So,
it drifted out though.
Yeah, no,
even better. Even better for those who just backed it on the day.
Well, after timing or anything like that?
No, because it was napped and it was put up on Friday, so you can't really count it as after timing if it's put up before time. That's before timing.
Before timing, brilliant. Your Toxeter then on Sunday. You've got two selections for us, Gary. Do you want to run us through them? First one running in the 2:10.
Yeah, I mean, again, looking a little bit from left field, which is, again, something I've said quite a lot this week when looking at some of those Irish races. We'll spin through those that will probably be towards the front of the market first. Midnight Aurora was a winner at Worcester on her most recent outing. That was her first victory for quite some time. The step up in trip seemed to suit the daughter of Midnight Legend. She's got an official mark of 92 now. Skelton's continuing in flying form. This will be tougher, but you know she's a Skelton horse. She's likely to be favourite. Andy Hollow was a winner at Bangor the other day. Wasn't beaten too far at Sedgefield last time out. Has gone up another £7 for that. He's not the biggest, but you know he stays well, which is good. And for this grade, he's largely consistent, which counts for a good bit. Balkinstown, another one who's hit the frame on his last three outings. The most recent one, in fact, all three of those have come at Worcester over the summer. The ground might be slightly different. It's good to soft in places. We had a lot of rain at Uttoxeter on Thursday night, it was. And obviously the ground was down as to be a good bit quicker before that rain, but they had a lot of rain. And I think there is a little bit more forecast through Saturday night, possibly into the early hours of Sunday morning as well. So that could yet have an effect on things here. With that in mind, this horse went on my tracker when I saw him run at Uttoxeter. Her run at Uttoxeter last year, and I can't remember, I think it might have been a second run. second ever career start in a maiden hurdle, where I didn't think she was put in the race, and I certainly think there is more to come from her. And the horse is Candlelight Story. Now, I actually tipped her at Bangor the other day. She ran all right to a point. She ran in the same race that Handy Hollow won. But you look at her pedigree, she's by Cave Tara, out of a strong Gale mare. It's all about pedigree, staying pedigree for this horse. The cheap pieces went on for the first time, I think, last time out. They're kept on here. Local yard of Jenny Candlish. That tend to do quite well during the early part of the season, been a bit quiet during the summer months, but that is to be expected. Drops down to a mark of 95, but crucially, as I say, she's going up in trip. Her best run actually came here in June when she stayed on in a mare's handicap hurdle. She was beaten 20-odd lengths still, it has to be said, but that was in a class... that was in a class 5 race, but it's all about the stepping up in trip for me. They won't go as quick early on, which will help her just get into a bit of a better jumping rhythm, hopefully. Sean Quinlan's ridden her a couple of times now, so he should know all about her. So she'll be a price, and I will probably make her my nap of the day tomorrow, because I think she'll be a decent price, and I think she is better than her mark currently indicates that she is. As I say, she's not had that many starts, and her career only started around about this time last year, which is quite late, really. Candlelight Story, the pick in the 2.10.
All about the stamina then for Candlelight Story in that 2.10 at Uttoxeter as she steps up in trip. And that's Gary's nap selection on Sunday. And your other pick that also runs at Uttoxeter?
Yeah, well, there's quite a valuable little handicap at Uttoxeter as well at 350, just shy of £30,000 in prize money. The top weight, Maracuja, hasn't been with the Skelton yard that long. Did win for Paul Nichols back in February. That was at Musselburgh. I thought it was a bit disappointing, actually, at Perth the other day behind Hammersley Lake on debut for the yard. Jarvett's had a bit of a break. He hasn't been seen since winning at Haydock on Swinton Hurdle Day back in 2016. Won that intermediate handicap chasing good style.
Just a bit of a break then.
Yeah, been off the track 869 days. Prior to that, had unseated his rider in the novice handicap chase, which is now the final race on day one of the festival. He'd won at Doncaster prior to that. I was impressed with him that day when he won at Doncaster, winning by 12 lengths. That was in handicap company, and he won well. Golden Birthday handicap debut, I think, for this one over fences, and he had the three goes over fences. Actually, won the last two, albeit small fields at Stratford. And in the end, he's only had to beat one rival on both of those occasions. He'd finished second here on his chasing debut the back end of July. What a versatile horse. Harry Fry's done well with him. But Cobra de Mar, we should mention as well. He finished second in air at the Scottish National meeting in the Champion Novice Chase, albeit that race rather fell apart. There's only five of them to begin with, and only two of them got round eventually. But that one's quite interesting. But the one for me here, getting to that time of year where some of the better horses are coming out, and Nigel Twiston Davis always has his horses fit and raring to go first time up. Creve Hill is the selection. Now, this horse has had eight starts over fences. He's won on two of those occasions. He won at Lingfield and indeed at Sandown last year. Actually won at Sandown on Imperial Cup Day. Won that race by 20 lengths that day. It was on soft ground. He was a beaten favourite at Haydock the time after that, but the handicap had mullered him for that victory the previous run, and it could easily have left its mark. The good thing about this horse is he won't mind if there is any more rain. He can handle good to soft ground, as he has proved he's been placed on good to soft ground in the past. So if it stays like it is, that wouldn't be too much of a concern. But hopefully a bit of digging in the ground will see this horse back to winning ways. As I say, he won that race at Sandown off a mark of 129. He's now off 139, so it will take a career best, but he's a lightly raced six-year-old. There should hopefully be more to come from him this season, and the Twiston Davis team, I'm sure, will have him primed and ready to go. So, Creve Hill, the pick in that valuable prize at 350.
Creve Hill for Gary and the 350 for the Twiston Davises, the Twiston Davi, if you will. in that.
Don't quote him that.
No, I'm not going to quote him that. That handicap chase. So that's your Toxis Racing on Sunday. And finally, to end the podcast, Gary, just a quick word. I understand that after we have Racing Radio on Saturday, which you're in one of the pundits for, you're heading up to Wolverhampton for the Arabian race, living the glamorous life. And you were saying it's towards the end of the Arabian season.
Yes.
Have you had a good time?
It's been a good season. We've got three single races, including the race at Wolverhampton on Saturday night to come. There's one at Lingfield on Tuesday afternoon, which I won't be doing because I'm working elsewhere, and it's one of these ones that was put in quite late. And there's another one at Wolverhampton on the Saturday of the art meeting. So again, I'm hoping to do exactly the same, do the single shift in here and then go down there afterwards, because again, that is also at 9:15. But a few young lads that I think may well be going conditional. Eddie McKenzie is certainly going to go apprentice, I think. Charlie Jordan Price, I believe, is going to turn conditional. He's based with Tim Vaughan. So he'll be getting some opportunities. Both of them very good, strong riders, very dedicated to their cause. And there may be two names to keep an eye on over the winter months. Ellie McKenzie, I think she did a fitness test the other day. I was talking to her at Chelmsford last week, so pretty sure she'll be going apprentice because I think she's got a few people that are willing to give her rides. And as I say, Charlie John Price already with Tim Vaughan. I think he's had one or two winners over fences. He's certainly ridden winners in the pointing world anyway, but they are two names to concentrate on. Charlie Jordan Price actually at the moment leads the Jockeys Championship with three races to go. One clear from Simon Walker and Will Pettis, who are both on 8. Joanna Mason's on 7. So with three races to go, obviously at the time of recording this, and all four of those jockeys ride in the race tonight, and I think all four ride on Tuesday as well in the race at Lingfield, because the decks have already been done for that. So it will be interesting to see who comes out on top. If Simon draws level with Charlie, he's got more seconds, so he would win the title for the 17th time on countback. But yes, coming to the end of the Arabian racing season, albeit I'm very lucky enough, I'll be going to the richest Arabian race in Abu Dhabi in November.
Oh, very nice.
Which is a couple of weeks before the Grand Prix goes over there. I think November the 9th or 10th. I think they're moving it to a Friday this year. So that to look forward to as well.
Fantastic. All the latest, all the whispers from the worlds of horse racing, both the Red and Arabian, when we've got Gary
exactly.
In the studio here on the Daily Racing Podcast. We're back tomorrow. And Gary, thanks for being with us today.
Pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.